3 years ago, the longest election night in history came to a close.
Just moments ago, I spoke with George W. Bush and congratulated him on becoming the 43rd president of the United States.
The loser is the winner! The loser is the winner!
I understand how difficult this moment must be for Vice President Gore and his family.
George W. Bush was declared the winner of the November 2000 presidential election in mid-December, defeating Al Gore.
I accept the finality of this outcome, and tonight I offer my concession.
President Bush! President Bush!
I have a lot to be thankful for tonight. I'm thankful for America, and thankful that we are able to resolve our electoral differences in a peaceful way.
The razor-thin margin of that race, 271 electoral votes for Bush, 267 for Gore, 500,000 more votes cast for Gore than for Bush, the margin described a country evenly divided between Democratic and Republican voters. Evenly divided, but not evenly distributed. The Democrats carried every state on the Pacific except Alaska, and every state in the Northeast except New Hampshire. The Republicans carried every state in the South and the Rocky Mountains, except for New Mexico. Solid blocks on color-coded maps of usually red states in the GOP column and blue states that went for the Democrat. And then there were a handful of states around the Great Lakes, and of course Florida, where the presidential race of 2000 had been a real contest, the so-called battleground states. In this segment of our program, we look ahead to the presidential election of 2004 with dispatches from some of those very same battleground states. How do they look for this coming November? We'll hear from Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Florida. First, we'll hear from pollster Andrew Kohut of the Pew Center about what's new and what's not on the electoral map.
In Washington, Oregon, and California, the Republicans have made gains across the board. But still, those are states that where you'd have to bet that the Democrats are going to do pretty well.
And in the Northeast, still solid Democratic country?
Given how much Democrats seem committed to voting against President Bush, even before they know who they will be voting for, it's very likely to be Democratic this time.
The whole Rocky Mountain region, Colorado was contested. Democrats won New Mexico. Otherwise, from there straight down to Texas, solidly Republican.
It's Republican. Those are key red states, and they're going to stay that way.
And the Gulf Coast, excluding Florida, let's say, and up through the Carolinas?
Again, Republican. I mean, we had two elections, election in Mississippi and an election in Kentucky, and the Republicans won. No surprise.
And then a lot of contested area in between. I'm just wondering what's... As you look ahead to the political map, what, if anything, is different about it?
Well, the Republicans have made gains in some of these swing states, and they've really reinforced their position. This is an increasingly polarized electorate, with Republicans going to their corner and Democrats going to their corner. And so these handful of swing states, which were decisive, will once again probably be where the campaign is fought.
One of the states Andy Kohut of the Pew Center is talking about is Ohio. No Republican president has been elected without carrying Ohio. President Bush won it very narrowly, even though the Gore campaign folded its tents there 3 weeks early. NPR's Don Gagne traveled to Ohio and reports that both sides are already mobilizing their forces.
It is a cold, damp December Monday night on the outskirts of Akron, Ohio. But people are filling the rows of chairs in the basement meeting room of the Hilton Hotel. The only indication of what's taking place inside is a small cardboard sign, white with plain black lettering, that reads Bush Cheney 04 Inc.
Good evening. Could I have your attention, please? Everyone in the back?
By 7 p.m., volunteers pretty much fill the room.
You're going to hear a lot tonight. I hope if you remember one thing only when you leave here is that victory for the president is going to depend on you.
After the introductory remarks, we and our microphones are escorted out. The media are not allowed to see the PowerPoint presentation that follows. But what's no secret is that the president's backers know they almost lost Ohio in 2000, despite late polls showing them way ahead. And that memory is a powerful motivator this time around. Sally Florkowitz is a regional chairperson of the Bush-Cheney reelection effort in Cuyahoga County.
You know, I started calling people in October. for this thing. And I'm telling you, it was amazing. You know, first of all, why are you calling so early? And I said, well, things are really going to be different this time, you know, and they are. And we know it's going to be a very, very close race. And whoever can get their voters out, that's going to be the key.
The meeting breaks up after about 90 minutes, and Florkowitz whirls around the room like a person with a big job and not enough time to do it.
Well, this is great that you came. Well, I will not let you alone now that I found you.
46-year-old Marvin Smith drove about 40 minutes from the Cleveland suburbs to attend. New to politics, like many at this event, he came not knowing what he had to offer. He left with some ideas.
I would be interested in calling and talking to people. I enjoy talking to people. One of the things they ask in the brochure here is to contact some friends, try to get them involved. I'd be interested in doing that, emailing friends, calling radio stations.
Consider this a street-level view of the Bush-Cheney re-election campaign, where volunteers are asked to become team leaders who sign up at least five more volunteers, who then sign up more friends and acquaintances until, as one organizer put it, there's a Bush volunteer on practically every block.
It's unprecedented both in terms of its timing and its ambition.
Ohio State University political scientist Herb Asher.
Here we are 11 months out, and they're making decisions about people, priorities, investments. You know, they're not waiting to the summer before the election to do this. That's unusual.
As for issues, Asher notes that on Iraq, Ohio opinion is likely to mirror the nation's, but it may be different when it comes to the economy. The state has lost more than 157,000 manufacturing jobs since Mr. Bush took office. Just this week, Rubbermaid, a longtime Ohio company, said it is closing its factory in the town of Worcester, eliminating another 850 jobs. That kind of news is motivating Ohio Democrats, and they, too, are starting early.
Show Bush the door in 2004.
That and when Clinton lied, no one died. Those are the two most popular
That's
buttons.
Excellent.
These are Ohio union members checking out anti-Bush buttons at an AFL-CIO conference this week in Columbus. Union leaders from around the state held this gathering in part because of what they see the Bush campaign doing. Davita Russell is with the Ohio Association of Public School Employees.
The challenge is going to be tough, but just like they're going to have one person on every block, we're going to have five on every block. He can have as many people on that block as he wants, but we will have the double force.
Republicans readily admit that the Bush campaign has learned from past successful get-out-the-vote efforts by the labor movement and is now trying to do labor one better. Both sides will be tested to their limits next year in Ohio. Don Gagne, NPR News.
We are hearing from some presidential battleground states in this part of the program, and another one is Michigan. It has 17 electoral votes and a politically split personality. Two Democrats in the Senate, a Democratic governor, Republican majorities in the House and the state legislature. Al Gore won Michigan in 2000, and Democratic State Chairman Mark Brewer says the Democrat will have to win it in 2004.
I don't believe a Democrat can be elected without carrying Michigan. I just don't see a scenario where that can happen. As Bush demonstrated last time, a Republican can win, but it makes it much more difficult if he's not able to carry the state.
But for the Democrats?
Absolutely vital.
For the Republicans, Michigan was important enough for President Bush to visit the state for the 12th time last week. He stopped off at Dynamic Metal Treating, a family-owned tool company in Canton, just outside Detroit, for a well-staged local media event. The president held a roundtable with CEOs, managers, and workers, including one who was laid off and rehired. The president's message to the nearly 200 people packed onto the Dynamic Metal factory floor: the Bush economic program is working.
About 286,000 new jobs were created over the last 3 months. We need more. I think the foundation's laid. You've heard these two business owners talk in terms of their hiring new people and how confident they are, and that's good. We just got to keep it going.
To compete for Michigan, the Republicans will have to keep it going. Congresswoman Candace Miller is Mr. Bush's state campaign chair.
Certainly in regards to the economy, we need to show an extremely positive trend line, and that is certainly happening. The numbers in the third quarter now over 8%. Now, Michigan is lagging behind the national in all the indices, actually. That certainly will be a pivotal issue, the economy, of course.
One measure of the task the GOP faces in Michigan was the way that that media event was covered in the next day's Detroit News. It's a front-page story, above the fold, a photograph of President Bush and Representative Miller, and then this headline dripping with skepticism. It says, "Weary factory workers hear Bush tout jobs."
I would say the Detroit News, one of the most pro-Republican, pro-Bush newspapers in this state, is reflecting their readership.
Michigan pollster Ed Sarpolis, he says that rocketing growth rate in the third quarter just hasn't been felt in Michigan.
We still essentially lead the nation with unemployment. Nearly a quarter of all the jobs lost to manufacturing in the last 2 years have come from Michigan. The jobs that are replacing the jobs that were lost are at a lower pay. In Michigan, the public's saying, we haven't seen the benefit here.
And voters we spoke with outside the Walmart in suburban Warren, Michigan, generally said just that.
It doesn't look to me like it's doing a very good job of recovering.
You have friends who aren't working?
Yes, that are losing hours. There are indicators that they keep written in the paper are there, but I don't see it.
That's auto inspector Don Partica. Receptionist Judy Sanders was equally negative.
It's bad.
It's bad.
It's awful.
So they say things are coming back. They say that jobs are coming
back.
Well,
I'm still waiting. I lost $70,000 in the stock market. I'm waiting to see something come back.
But Sandra and Brian Wanowski, who have a tree business, sense a little progress.
I can see people, they're spending a little more money now. They're starting to get relaxed. You know, half a year ago, they were waiting to the last minute till they had to do something.
Oh, yeah, people are definitely holding back a little bit.
Just have to see.
The president may have helped himself out in Michigan, where so many things are made of steel, and where tariffs that worked against cheap steel prices were unpopular. Michigan's Republican congressman urged him to rescind the steel tariff, and now he has. Even so, Democrat Mark Brewer says the steel tariffs could yet prove a boon for his party's candidate.
The president at this point may get the worst of both worlds. Workers in Michigan and the steel industry will be angry that the tariffs weren't continued until the recovery of the industry was complete. But at the same time, there's a lot of residual anger among his base supporters that he even did this in the first place.
So is Michigan likely to be a Democratic cakewalk? Well, not according to pollster Ed Sarpolis.
The key issues that will determine this are really resolve around education, health care, and the economy. Right now, amongst those who care about education, President Bush is leading either General Clark or Governor Dean. And on health care, Democrats still lead, but that may change if the seniors are convinced here in Michigan that this new Medicare package is a good deal. And the last issue is the economy. If the economy turns around in Michigan, then I would say the president definitely has the advantage of going into 2004.
There is also the unpredictable issue of Iraq and many social questions on which Michigan wage earners tend to be conservative. In Michigan, polls show President Bush is vulnerable, yet ahead of all the would-be Democratic candidates. But longtime Michigan political analyst Bill Ballinger warns, don't read too much into that.
Nobody in the Democratic field so far, it seems to me, is really connecting with Michigan. But on the other hand, Al Gore was nowhere when it came to Michigan. He really didn't seem to have any presence here, and yet he won by 5 points over George W. Bush. So who's to say that next year one of these Democratic nominees who today you can't imagine doing well in Michigan could somehow carry the state? It could happen.
Political analyst Bill Ballinger, we spoke to him in Lansing, Michigan last week. Could it happen again in Pennsylvania, which Gore also won in 2000 by about the same margin as in Michigan? Joining us from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is political scientist Terry Madonna, who's been watching Pennsylvania politics for 30 years. Terry Madonna, what, if anything, is likely to be different about presidential politics in Pennsylvania 2004 from 2000?
Well, I think the main difference, of course, would be the war in Iraq and the post-war reconstruction and how voters view it. I think ultimately that may be as important as the economic questions, but in Pennsylvania, economics, Robert, always looms big, and I would expect that the loss of jobs in the manufacturing sector would remain a vital campaign issue in the months ahead.
But you say that such issues as the war in Iraq or the war against terrorism are the big difference. Do those issues translate to strong support for a wartime president, or is there great skepticism about those policies in Pennsylvania?
we expect the election to be very close and to hinge on the very way in which you have framed the issue. Is this a successful wartime president leading the forces of democracy, or is this the adventurism in a sense of a foreign policy and a defense policy that has gone awry? I think Pennsylvanians are very divided.
A third dimension to the presidential race, in addition to the economy and the perception of America's role in the world, could conceivably be a raft of social issues, everything from gun rights and abortion to same-sex marriage nowadays. What's the sense of what's the right place to be to win Pennsylvania?
Well, Pennsylvania is more of a centrist state. It does have a socially conservative base, particularly its blue-collar working class folks who live in the old mining and mill towns. They tend to be pro-gun, anti-abortion, anti-gay rights, but that's sort of offset by the more progressive and moderate suburbs where the voters there tend to be pro-choice and for gun control and much more moderate on the issues of gay and lesbian rights. So you can be either. You can't be usually at the extremes.
Terry Madonna, political scientist at Millersville University outside Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Robert.
And our last report on battleground states in 2004 is from NPR's Mara Liasson, who traveled to the one that kept us waiting more than a month last time, Florida.
If the political map is now divided between red and blue states, Florida is the state with red and blue stripes. George W. Bush won Florida's electoral votes in 2000, but we still don't know who actually won the state's popular vote. And today, 3 years later, the impact of the 2000 recount and its possible effect on the 2004 presidential race is still being debated. Attorney Barry Richard represented George W. Bush in the legal fight over the recount.
If there are changes in Florida, they're not going to be related to what happened in 2000. People probably have the same positions they had before. People who were pro-Bush were not going to be affected by it. People who were anti-Bush are still going to be anti-Bush.
There have been plenty of changes in Florida politics since 2000, and Dexter Douglas, the lead attorney for Al Gore, thinks they all have roots in the recount.
The Republicans, by virtue of having the strength to carry out the recount in their favor, have taken complete control of the Florida legislature, so it's strengthened the Republican Party in Florida and has probably weakened the Democratic Party.
It's true that since the recount, Republicans control more of the levers of power in the state, and many of the key Republican players have prospered. Jeb Bush was handily reelected to a second term as governor. In 2002, Catherine Harris, the former Florida Secretary of State, won a seat in Congress after her high-profile role in the recount. But political scientist Susan McManus says it's a mistake to assume that Florida has joined the ranks of the red states.
People look at the control of the legislature, the control of the cabinet, the governor's chair, all in the hands of Republicans, as is true of the congressional delegation. But they also look at the fact that we have two Democratic U.S. senators from this state. And it shows that the right Democrat with the right message can carry Florida as well.
And McManus expects the 2004 race to be just as much of a cliffhanger as 2000.
This is the battleground state once again. There's no shift in that. And if anything, this time around, the people in Florida will be more committed to voting. I expect voter turnout to go up.
At the Castaway restaurant overlooking Tampa Bay, a group of Florida voters gathered recently to talk about all this. Tampa is the bellwether region of this bellwether state. In every election since 1980, Tampa area voters have predicted how Florida would go in a presidential election. Dina Page, a stay-at-home mom and a lifelong Republican, expects the next election to be very close, and she says her party is energized.
One outcome of the recount was that the Republican grassroots base definitely is juiced. Our grassroots effort is ready to go out there because we see it as every vote does count, and we're really going to make sure we turn them out.
Democrats, on the other hand, sound more demoralized. Geraldine Barnes, a recently retired social worker, says she still feels lingering resentment from the recount. She worked hard to register and turn out young African Americans in 2000, but now when she talks to young people, she finds the prevailing attitude is why vote.
I would say what happened has turned off a lot of Afro-Americans. The process, the system, they constantly say they gonna do what they want to do anyway.
After the 2000 recount, Democrats were sure they could rely on the anger of voters who felt they'd been disenfranchised to fuel big turnouts in 2002. But it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, African-American turnout in Florida dropped from about 70% in 2000 to 45% in 2002. Leanna Fernandez-Fox, a math teacher and Democrat, says it was a mistake to count on the recount as a motivating force.
We still have a far way to come, I believe, to meet the organization of the Republican Party in the state of Florida. So what's going to be the silver bullet here for the Democrats? And that's going to be these grassroots organizations that are forming all over the state and getting people into the rudimentary things that have to happen in order for a huge effect to happen.
The Democratic Get Out the Vote organizations call themselves 537 groups. 537 is the number of votes Gore fell short in 2000. Both parties in Florida today are concentrating on their base voters, identifying and turning out their core supporters and those swing voters who can be persuaded to join them. The two parties begin that task dead even. Today, when pollsters ask Floridians which party they identify with, the number of Democrats has dropped and is now exactly the same as the number of Republicans. Mara Liasson, NPR News.
There will be differences between the presidential race of 2004 and the cliffhanger of 2000. Reapportionment of congressional seats after the last census benefited the GOP. Given the shift of electoral votes, they could now lose, say, West Virginia, and still win with all the other states that George Bush carried last time. And then there's the difference of incumbency. A sitting president can fly to Baghdad for Thanksgiving and dominate news coverage for a day or two in a way that a challenger cannot. But what our visits to these states found is this. The equilibrium of 2000 has not come undone. So far, in the battleground states, we're not hearing about the imminent ouster of a failed president or the anointing of a wildly popular one. We're hearing about the possibility of a very close race.